When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's our holiday decorating episode of Junkin' with Jenny. On today's show, we'll show you how Jenny decks the halls for the holidays by taking vintage items and giving them new life as festive holiday decor. We'll also show you step-by-step how to create the perfect magazine-ready tree and how Jenny sets the tables for the holidays. All of that and more on today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny.
And that's us. That's our cue to talk. That was it. I was focused over here on like bringing up Facebook Live so we could see what's going on. There's a delay on that, by the way. So that's the past.
Okay.
This is the present over on this monitor. So welcome to Junkin' with Jenny. This is episode, what are we up to? It's 14? 14.
I think so.
Episode 14.
Yeah.
And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We are here doing this live tonight after we've wrapped up our Thanksgiving festivities and our movie and everything. And how are you doing?
My stomach's making noise. I'm not hungry, but I think it's like trying to make room for everything that I ate today.
Yeah, kind of broken a lot of rules today.
Oh yeah, because I've been on a real good kick for trying to eat healthier, but today was a big cheat day.
Sure. Well, yeah, you need that.
Yeah.
Everyone needs that every now and then. But yeah, it's been a fun day of just kind of relaxing and eating and all that. Let us know how your Thanksgiving was. We're actually streaming this live on Facebook Live tonight as well. In fact, the way I promoted it during the day was hide in a closet or a bathroom, get your headphones, and escape your in-laws.
Right.
And we'll keep you company for a little while. So I don't know how big the audience will be tonight, being it is Thanksgiving night, but I thought, hey, you know, this is kind of the time I think a lot of people are sitting there on their phone.
Right.
Going, can I need a little excuse? I see Stacy already says hi.
Hi.
She says, love the room.
Oh, thank you.
Feel free to interact with us tonight. Leave your comments, leave your suggestions on the stuff we're going to talk about on tonight's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. This is all about holiday decorating.
Yes.
Because this is a time right now where, you know, Thanksgiving is done. And if you're not living in a tourist town that starts celebrating Christmas the day after Halloween, this is kind of the time we normally used to, you know, do Christmas decorating.
Usually in my family, it was the day after Christmas.
Yeah, mine too.
Okay.
Mine too. So on today's episode, that's what we're going to be talking about. We've already got all of our stuff up.
Uh-huh.
All of our decorations, decor. So on today's episode, like you may have seen in the intro, we're going to be talking about how to get a really cool magazine-esque Christmas tree, which is something I didn't really know how to do. It's really kind of a step-by-step process, and we'll take you through it. And
lots of layers.
Yeah, and talk about how to layer that thing. We still do a fun family memory Christmas tree as well.
Sure.
But if you really want that really cool look, we're going to talk about how to do all that. And then just some of the other stuff that we've done around the house, using old items, using family heirlooms and things like that, mm-hmm. about how to repurpose them, give you some ideas maybe for some stuff that you may have around your house, or you may be finding with your family when you're there for the holidays in mom's attic or dad's attic or whatever, going, oh my God, this could totally be used.
Sure.
And we'd love to see your pictures and stuff. If you guys come across things like that or create things like that, send them in to us at Junkin' with Jenny. You can email us through the website at junkinwithjenny.com. See, there's people here.
Okay.
You were saying, I wonder if people are going to be there tonight.
I was, well, it's Thanksgiving.
It is.
And this is our first Junkin' with Jenny Facebook Live.
It is, yeah.
So I was curious.
Sure. So I thought, let's put it out here on Real Ghost Stories Online, because that's where, you know, there's the larger audience there already, just from that show being around for so long, and a lot of our audience coming from there. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone who is joining us. We appreciate you guys joining in, and please do join in the conversation tonight. We do see your comments, and we're able to read them as we do the show. So we'll certainly touch on those as we go through the episode tonight. Tonight's wine sponsor, if you need more wine today, if you've not had your share of that, is Edna Valley Vineyards, and this is their Chardonnay. They're a 2016 vintage, and they are what we are calling our creative juice.
Yes.
Of that instead of just wine sponsor.
It's our creative juices.
It's our creative juices of the week, and it's a really nice Chardonnay, and a very affordable one as well. Depending on where you're at in the country, retails anywhere from about $10 to $15, right around there. You know, you get a lot of good flavors out of this. Is a good overall Chardonnay you could serve if you're doing Thanksgiving tomorrow or over the weekend and going, what wine should I buy? Mm-hmm. This is a nice overall one that you can serve to pretty much everybody.
And our viewers may know that I am drinking out of a water goblet because I broke my wine glass last night. So it's not like I've upsized. Yeah. This is what I have. Because I break wine glasses like crazy. I'm going to go to stemless and plastic and put a lid on it. It's going to be Jenny's sippy cup because I inevitably will break them. And I've broken some of yours. I've broken all of mine.
Someday, like next week on the show, we're just going to have like a little like Mickey Mouse. Because we were starting to get rid of the sippy cups finally.
Yeah.
From Harper. Like she's getting too old for that. Now it's time to get rid of the sippies. Well, I think I have like two left that I haven't thrown away.
Sure.
I'm just going to bring them down here to your office for the show. And I'm going to continue to use a grown-up cup. And I'm just going to put your wine in a sippy.
It won't be breakable, so that's fine. I broke one last night.
You did. You just, boom, you knocked it over. In your defense, it's a coffee table kind of at the end of a couch. You don't really see it. It's kind of an odd reach to get to it. But you do have a history.
I do.
It's a pattern of breaking wine glasses.
Yeah.
But there you go. So you got that? You got the water. And this is actually technically a red wine glass, but I said, screw it.
Well,
it doesn't really matter.
We're down. We need to just get some new shatterproof glasses because this is what we're down to, a water goblet and a red wine glass.
Next week on the show, we'll have a wine glass sponsor that will be providing us with the glasses. But this Edna Valley Vineyards, good Chardonnay. It's a nice kind of full-bodied Chardonnay. You get pear, peach, you know, some spice, a lot of cream in there, butter. It's a good overall balance. It's one that no one's going to complain about. So if you need a good one for the holidays, for whatever, just for drinking, to escape the children after they go to bed at night and relax.
Yeah.
Because we never do that. This is a good one. So thank you, guys. Thanks, Edna Valley Vineyards, for being our creative juices of the week. If you are involved in a vineyard or anything, you want your wine featured on the show, reach out to me through our website at junkinwithjenny.com, and we can arrange for such a occasion. All right. So what do you want to talk about first? We go into...
You pick.
You want to talk about the Christmas trees?
Sure, we're going to talk about the Christmas trees.
Christmas trees. Okay, let's talk about... I'm going to show the end product first.
Okay.
And then we'll go into how we got there. And first, I want to say this quick, too, because we have several Christmas trees in our home. What you see on camera right now, if you're watching JunkinWithJenny.com, I'm showing the fun Christmas tree. This is our...
This is our family sentimental Christmas tree.
This is one where it's not necessarily made to be magazine-esque.
No.
We'll talk about that one in a little bit, but I just want to say we don't like completely get rid of the family ornaments because everybody has family ornaments.
Sure.
If you want to do more of the magazine-esque tree, that is what we're going to talk about doing here on the show. So the end product looks a little something like this. This is in the other room. It's a bit of a taller ceiling, and this is something that really you know, it's like something out of the catalog.
Yeah.
It's like something out of
a
magazine.
My goal. That was what I was shooting for.
And it looks really complex. It looks really intimidating at first. I'm going to be, that's how I would feel, you know, if I was just looking at this thing. But there's ways of doing this. And sure. It's not that difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, I would have no idea how to do this. I tried to do something like this once, failed, and then I met you.
Okay.
And you really kind of brought to light, you know, step by step how to do something like this. So let's start at base one on how to get that tree to look like that. And I have there's three images on screen right now. It starts out with just the base Christmas tree. It's got the lights on. How do you go from this base Christmas tree to that fully decked out, beautiful, Martha Stewart Christmas tree? Step one through whatever.
Okay, well, the first step, we have all artificial trees because we have really bad allergies, so we can't go mm-hmm. and take the trip to the tree farm and bring a tree home. So we have a pre-lit, 10-foot tree in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lights being spread very evenly is the manufacturer that did that.
Mm-hmm.
My first word to the wise on that would be try and get as many strands of lights as evenly placed on the tree as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what is it? They say you need at least like 2 strands for every foot or something like that.
I don't know.
I'm not sure if that's quite accurate, but if you Google it, there is a, you know, almost an equation, how many strands of lights to plan for however tall your tree is.
This is about a 10-foot tree we're working with here. I believe there's like 700, is it 700 lights on there, or is it more than
that? There's more than that, because
okay.
our shorter one has
700.
700.
Okay, yeah. This, I believe, is like 1,200?
Maybe.
Okay.
Anyway. I'm not sure. Yeah. So you've got, you know, all white lights on this tree. You can do one single color if you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can do rainbow, of course, but for that kind of classic look like we're shooting for, I went with all white, and they're a warm white. They're not the ones that almost have a blue tint to them.
Yeah, I like the warm white a lot
right. When
it comes to a holiday tree. Otherwise, it kind of starts, it almost looks like, reminds me of like a gas station glowing off in the distance.
Sure.
You know, with it's that.
Like a shell sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Not what I'm going for on a Christmas tree.
Then what I've done, and you can see it here in this picture, is I've taken a mesh ribbon, and it comes on a large spool. It's about 7 to 8 inches wide. You can get it at a craft store, and I think I used 2 of them on this. And I start at the top, and I just loosely wrap it around and leave, you know, maybe about 1.5 feet in between the layers.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to wrap it around and not make it look like you've just wrapped it, but you want to kind of poke it in loose so it kind of ribbons around
sure.
the tree. And that is your first step. And you kind of want to fluff it. I should back up. What we're doing with this tree is we're staying in a very kind of simple color palette, which you want to do anytime you do a formal tree like this. You want to pick 2 or 3 colors, max 4,
mm-hmm.
and that way it keeps it from looking busy. So we're using copper and gold, silver, and I'm also using a little bit of white. And white being a neutral, you know, that one doesn't really count. But we're doing an all metallic tree, and this is a copper mesh ribbon that we use.
So when you pick your palette of colors on this, you don't want to go too diverse, essentially. Complementary colors and maybe 3 to 4 max.
You can actually go diverse. It's just you don't want to get every color of the rainbow on there unless you're shooting for, you know, a Dr. Seuss looking Christmas tree.
Okay, sure.
3 to 4 is a good balance, and it keeps it from looking like you did this on purpose.
Okay. So you got the ribbon around the tree. Then the next step, and this is really key here, because it is a step-by-step process
right.
to do this. You can't just kind of like, everybody take a piece and put it up all at once. You're not going to get the look you want.
And we do that on the other tree.
Yes.
And that's more of our sentimental, let's all remember the ornaments and everything.
Yeah.
This one is my baby. This is my
If you want the magazine
tree,
you got to follow mm-hmm. the steps. So you get that up, and then you kind of called it like the tubing, if you will, and you can kind of see it on screen here. That's the white pieces, and this is the far right image. If you're watching the video version at junkinwithjenny.com, what is this material? How would you describe it?
Okay, a couple years ago, everybody was making these mesh ribbon wreaths, mm-hmm. and you get like it's a 16 inch wide spool of mesh, and you can get it in different colors, and it comes really tightly wound. And what I did was I took a roll of the silver mesh and I cut off strips about 4 inches wide. It was just enough to where the ribbon would kind of roll back up. So you ended up with like a tube that's mm-hmm. made of mesh.
Yeah.
You fold it in half long ways and you shove it into the tree, and okay. it holds itself because it kind of sticks to the pine needles and everything, mm-hmm. and you just bend it and you stick it, and you have these almost like silver noodles poking out sporadically, and mm-hmm. you just do that kind of all over at random. And it's a larger item, so it's great for filling in bare spots where you know maybe a branch doesn't lay like it used to or something. Fill in some of those larger holes with this, and mm-hmm. it's a really cheap way to do it. I think maybe, you know, it's like $7 for a spool of that, and yep. you can get a whole bunch of noodles, if you will, out of it.
Just so you're jamming it in there, and you're taking some of those branches and you're wrapping it around and holding it tight in there,
yeah.
if you will. Okay, so that's step three
okay.
of the process. Then we go on to step four and five, and I think step four here would be ornaments, I believe.
Yes, ornaments.
Right? Okay.
And like I said, these ornaments are within the color palette. So I had white, gold, copper, some silver, but they had different sheens to them. And I went with all shatterproof. Mm-hmm. And the girls did help me with this part, but they're all, you know, you stick them on there, and I try and put some of the larger ones towards the outside, towards the very ends of the branches, so it looks like the tree is dripping.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just go crazy. And like I said, you've got some that are as much as, you know, 5 or 6 inches wide down to some small ones, and you just kind of fill them in as needed.
So you add those on it, and shatterproof, I cannot say enough good things
yeah.
about. Remember like shatterproof ones when they came out like 10, 15 years ago? They were kind of tacky and crappy looking.
Well, and but you now can see great. The seam where they were like
yeah.
molded and everything. But now yeah. I've got some that look like mercury glass
yeah.
and until you drop in it and doesn't break, you
yeah.
don't realize or you feel it yeah. that it's not.
And literally within 30 seconds of us with the kids saying, okay, let's put the ornaments on this thing, two or three had already fallen,
right.
you know,
right.
with the kids. So this is something where you can still involve your kids with it, but go with the shatterproof. You're not going to have to deal with it. Oh, God, let's go get the vacuum. Nobody mm-hmm. step here, you know.
And with a larger tree, it's much more cost effective.
It is, yeah.
You can get them super cheap. And
they're
going
to last forever.
Yeah, and if you go with the not trendiest color, something more yeah. classic, it's never going to go out of style.
Yeah, I completely agree. So continuing on with that, I'm looking at our screen here and I'm seeing it. I don't know what happened with that over there with the live feed, but continuing on, we'll just continue
okay.
going here. Continuing on with the tree itself, you have the next step would be kind of the garland, if you will.
Right, and I do garland in kind of, I guess, my own way. Mm-hmm. I take the long strands of the fuzzy garland and I cut them into about 3 or 4 inch long pieces. And then I have the kids chuck it at the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And when you throw it at the tree, it just kind of sticks and lays on the branches, kind of like what they used to do with tinsel a long time ago before they realized kids and pets can't eat tinsel and be okay. So
I got a good story about that in a moment.
So you take your fuzzy garland and you cut it to 3 or 4 inch, you know, chunks, and you can toss it at the tree and it just kind of lays and you get that kind of soft fuzzy effect.
Mm-hmm.
The one I used was gold with a little bit of silver, so it was, you know, going within our color palette, but it was fun. The kids could throw it at the tree and it didn't hurt a thing.
Yeah.
We tossed the ones up high because obviously it doesn't fly very well.
And it really was a fun thing to do with the kids.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because literally you think, I always thought, okay, you take the garland, you kind of got to wrap it around and do the loops and all this. You literally chopped it up,
uh-huh.
and then we just chucked it at the tree.
Yeah.
And the kids loved that, chucking garland at the tree.
Well, and you get it more even and,
yeah.
you know, it's just a kind of a, I guess I yeah. thought it was an updated way to do garland.
It is. And if you don't keep chucking it at the same spot, it works out lovely. And it really does. You get the garland on there, and I think if you're just glancing at it, you almost think, you know, oh, it's, you know, it's strung around. But this really kind of gives a really more, it fills it out more in places where it otherwise wouldn't be, mm-hmm. and it looks really, really cool. So you got all that stuff on there now. We continue to layer this tree. And then there's really another step of putting a few more finishing touches on this thing. And it really is to fill in, I think, what would you say, a lot of the gaps of the tree where you can kind of see in, and it lets just fill this thing out.
So this last step's designed to add more texture, and everything that we're putting in on the last couple of steps has sparkle to it. And it's designed really to catch the light and really kind of give that, ooh, look at that, shiny. Yeah. These are, well, the poinsettias are actually from a bunch like you would use in a floral arrangement. You mm-hmm. just pull them right off the stem. The heads pop right off, and you poke those into the tree. And because they're large, again, they're another good one for covering holes and sticking further in, because they're going to show through the green. Mm-hmm. And then the, I guess, the sparkly berries on the twigs mm-hmm. and the large sparkly leaves, those are all floral picks that are put out, you know, in bulk for making Christmas wreaths. And I get them when they're like half off. They're like a dollar a piece anyway, so 50 cents. You stock up on them mm-hmm. and just kind of stick them. The leaves actually lay really well just kind of on the branches. You just stick them in. Mm-hmm. And then the berries on the twigs, you just kind of poke those in. Sometimes you have to work them in a little bit for them to stick out. Mm-hmm. But we did, what, maybe 50 different ones, not different types, but different picks total from top to bottom. And you try and kind of, you know, focus maybe more on the front where the light's going to hit it, because the back of our tree was against a window, and it's going to get light during the day, but we really wanted to see it at night. Mm-hmm. So most of those are on the front side, but you can do it all the way around. And that's part of catching the light and making it really glow and bouncing off the Christmas tree lights.
And that's what you really get at the end. I mean, it's a beautiful tree. It's completely filled in. And it is about the layering, though, because this is something where you couldn't just go, okay, everybody, start putting whatever you want up at any time. You would not get this look. You would not get this orderly, just magazine, like I said, esque tree look.
And this is the only thing that I do that I'm really kind of anal and controlling about. The rest, I love the kids to really just feel free, be an artist. But this is like, no, I want this tree to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then we do whatever with the rest of it.
And at the top of this tree, let's talk about that, because this is not really necessarily a tree that you end up putting a star on.
You can. The reason that we don't is because we can't reach the top even with our tallest ladder. So what we started doing is I started seeing trees around that were done professionally mm-hmm. that they had these kind of almost starburst of twigs and sparkles and things that kind of just flared out at the top, as you can see. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I'm going to do that. And it worked out, because when you're on the ladder, that's about as high as you can reach. You have to do that part for me.
Sure.
And again, those are more floral picks that you get for doing wreaths and stuff. But just go with something that's really chunky, that's got some substance to it, that's going to be able to stand on its own, because mm-hmm. you need it to kind of flare out at the top.
And when you're looking at this, it's almost a little bit deceiving looking at this picture of the top of the tree. It looks like there's only like four or five pieces here. There's probably damn near 20 pieces that are jammed in there. And it'll jam in really easily into the top of this tree, the ends of the sticks, and just kind of get it to I guess poof out, for lack of a better term.
Right, poke it in at a downward angle so it angles up and out.
And I have seen overkill on this, where people have done too much, and it's like, it looks like your tree is beginning to grow an opposite tree the other direction.
It's a pineapple.
Yes.
right.
I like, you know, kind of the understated, where it's like, oh, that's a really pretty top to your tree. And it finishes it, and you don't even think of like not being a star there. So there you go. There's a full look at the tree at the video version of this at JunkinWithJenny.com, and you can see how that whole thing turned out. Overall, I love that tree.
I do too.
It's really fun. I love walking through that room at night. I like walking through it during the day. It's depressing come January when I walk in that room, and it's just like, oh, just a view. It's a beautiful view.
But that room has big plans it for does. This January.
And actually, yeah, we're just talking today about what we're going to be doing in that room next. And there's some really, really neat stuff that we're going to be doing in this room on some future episodes of the program that we'll be talking about coming up in January. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be night and day. We'll do some before, some afters. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen in there with those really cool windows, those old shutters and all that. Jackie says on Facebook, this is a great idea. I'm going to try that garland idea this year. There you go. You inspired someone.
Thank you. And it doesn't get knotted up. You just put it in a bag.
You don't have to worry about that. Or your pet's eating it.
Yeah.
I usually do red and gold ribbon and a thin green and red garland, but I like the colors you used a lot.
Thank you.
And I think that's one of those things. It's difficult with Christmas to, I think, sometimes hone in on colors. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's just like, whoa, explosion of colors, which, you know, in some areas, there's nothing wrong with that. I'll show the picture again. Explosion of colors on our other tree. This is our family tree. And I think you need that with the kids. I think you do need just some of explosion. It's fun. It's Christmas. But there's nothing wrong with having other spaces of the house that can be a little more uniform and a little more what you want as a grown-up.
Well, and it's in a formal space, so I wanted a more formal tree. Mm-hmm. But the tree with the family ornaments actually has a button where we can switch it to gold light, so it can get toned down real fast, too.
And everyone argues, like, should it be white today? Should it be rainbow today? Should it be what today? And that was a tree where we literally just, it's all of our family ornaments, our fun ornaments. It's got the faux snow on there.
It's flocked.
Yeah, it's the family Christmas tree. So we still do that. We don't tell the children, no, you're not hanging any of your ornaments ever again. Mommy's just going to do this beautiful tree and you're going to love it.
No, we don't do that.
Do you remember the tinsel you used to have to go and you could like just hang it on the trees?
I remember it. We never did it, but I remember that.
I don't know if they even sell that stuff anymore. I think it became like a health hazard or something. Mm-hmm. But I remember our cat used to eat it.
Yeah.
And I think that may be one of the reasons they stopped selling this product. I don't think I've seen it in stores forever. I could be wrong. I would think they'd have been able to make some sort of a non-toxic version, or I don't know.
I don't know. If animals are still going to eat it, it's not
no matter what,
for their insides. So.
But we had a cat, Murphy was her name, and she would eat it. and I'm not... I shit you not when I'm talking about this because that place, it's a fun pun.
Right, it's a pun. I can see where this is going.
It's a pun about poop.
Uh-huh.
A pun about poop.
Okay.
It's a poop pun. She would literally start running around the house at Christmas time. And there would be streamers.
Oh, that's so gross. That is so gross.
Was it Silver Flash? So she was celebrating the holidays in her own way. She was decking her ass.
Decking her ass. Okay.
With that stuff. So
good.
There you go. So we didn't use it on our tree this year.
No.
Our pets aren't going to be decking their asses. So.
Nope.
Okay, let's move on to our next area. What should we talk about here next? Because we have so many different areas we want to talk about. Do you want to go into, is there anything else you want to talk about with our family Christmas tree while we're on the Christmas tree topic?
No, I mean, it's pretty much your classic, everybody puts their ornaments up on it, Christmas tree.
It is what it is, let's move over here to... Let's go into the dining.
Okay.
Holiday dining.
Sure.
Because that's something, you know, a lot of people have, you got family over, you got, you know, things to do. And it can be intimidating to make your dining area look the way you know. I go back to magazine-esque, and that's probably not even the right term. Pinterest-esque, I think, is probably more what people
would
be saying. Yeah.
Okay.
Pinworthy. Is that the term?
I think so.
Pinworthy?
Pinworthy.
So, to make your dining table pinworthy now, I know I'm so... It's amazing being 35 and feeling like I'm completely out of the loop of what the correct terminology is. But there's ways of really making a table awesome and getting your family, your relatives, friends, whoever you're having over, the random vagrant down the street that you're inviting in, they will enjoy And be very impressed by your setup,
okay,
if you will. And we actually have two different. We have our, you know, like our breakfast area, if you will, kind of informal. It's like right there in the kitchen area. And then there's the more formal. Let's start with the more informal area.
Sure.
And this is a setup of what we do at the holidays in that area. You want to talk about this and what your thought process was there?
Well, with this. My inspiration came from outside because we damn near hit a deer every day. And I love the deer. I've learned to respect the deer. And when I saw these plates, these actually came from Pier 1. I bought them. They were not supplied to me. I just saw them and I just loved them. It's a big buck deer in snow, and you can't really see that there's snow there. But when I saw that these little plates were dishwasher safe and microwave safe, and they were very affordable, I think they were $4 or $5 a piece. I thought those were coming home with me. Mm-hmm. And because they're a salad plate size, I layered it with other plates that I already had, and these are dinner plate size. They're dinner plates, and they have the classic kind of Christmas color plaid around the rim, and the center of it is actually white. And again, they're dishwasher safe and microwave safe, so the kids can use them. But I, you know, when you layer it on there, you just have that rim of plaid poking out. And then underneath is a placemat. Again, got that at Pier 1, bought it at the same time I bought the deer plates. And it's designed to look like cedar branches, kind of in a wreath. Now, you could use a semi-flat wreath as your bottom layer, but these were already flat and designed for this. And they're like a plastic material, so they're great. If you get something on there, you just, you know, rinse it off and let it air dry.
You could, in theory, use real cedar.
If you don't have an allergy, the only issue is that sometimes will dry out.
Exactly. I'm saying more for like a one-time.
Yeah.
The party's tonight. We have a cedar out back. Let's go cut it.
Right.
So you could easily actually do that to give that look. Junk them the next day.
Right. I'm all about using what you can and what you have in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. Which we actually are going to talk about here in a few minutes. For actually using real living cedar. But yeah, I mean, it's just a really cool, we're talking like literally on the plate setup, three pieces there to achieve that look.
And that's it. And then, you know, I had the plaid napkins. You can easily pick up a set of plaid napkins, you know, 4 packs, really inexpensive. And then napkin rings, or again, I've seen where you can use some more of those floral picks that you use for a wreath. Well, they've got a metal wire in them. If you bend them, you can make your own napkin rings.
That's easy.
Out of them.
And with our napkin rings, we try and get like somewhat universal
that go year round.
Yeah.
Right.
We can use them all year. Like silver's a good color for that.
I think we have 2 sets, 1 silver, 1 gold.
Yeah. So it's easy to get more life out of it.
Sure.
From season to season, rather than we must have this set of napkin rings for this season and this and that. I mean, you can if you want, if you have the money, but if you're trying to, you know, be economical on it, the more you can reuse and repurpose, I mean, that's what we're all about.
Minimal.
Exactly.
Minimal investment, long-time impact.
And less stuff you're going to lose as well, you know, as you go season to season. Like, let's pack this away. Where are those? You know, how many times you were like in the Easter bin of crap, and it's like, oh, that there's that Christmas thing we couldn't find, and we're getting better at that.
I forgot I have that. Way cut back when we've started reducing the amount of things that we had.
Exactly. So that's that setup in there. Let's talk about a more of a formal setup and some ideas. And let me just talk about one more cool thing that I really love about our setup in this room, and it's not even seasonal. What I'm talking about here, and if you're watching the video version, you can see off in the corner behind the plate is our simple little holder of forks and knives and spoons. It's right there. It's little rock jars that hold all of them, and it saves the time of who's going to go set the table or whatnot. And it's a neat looking piece.
Yeah.
And it sits there. And I wish I had a bigger shot of that. But that is just such a convenient thing to have, especially with kids.
And a lot of places have those. It started out as you got them for picnics, picnic wear outside.
Yeah.
And then moms were like, why are we putting all of our silverware back in a drawer?
Yeah.
Only to have to dig it back out. Yeah. And so I just thought, you know, and I'm not trying to plug Pier 1, but when I saw that, it just makes sense to have on our breakfast table. So setting the table is automatically done.
Yeah.
And everybody just grabs what they need.
It's just there. It's done. It's easy. It saves time. Okay. More of a formal setup if you're going for like that more formal dining experience. And again, I think sometimes you look at these things and you're almost, you know, if you've never done this, it is intimidating to look at because you're like, oh my God, there's so much stuff going on here.
Right.
But really, there's not. It's a few pieces put together accordingly, and it ends up looking pretty damn cool.
In my opinion, sometimes less is more, and you get a more elegant effect the fewer things that you have going on. And with this, we have a simple plastic charger, and it's a copper color. It's hard to tell from the picture, but it's a copper color. Then I have more antique plates than I care to admit, and I took some that I had that were kind of a cream and gold, very basic, just layered it on there, and then the napkin with the napkin ring. And that's more of the floral leaf picks from the Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And I just set it right under the napkin so you get that little bit of a fancy sparkle going on.
Mm-hmm.
But again, very simple setup, very, you know, I won't say monochromatic, but very few colors involved. I tied it in with the Christmas tree because you can see the large formal tree from the dining room. Mm-hmm. So it was all kind of meant to go together.
You want to hear a funny story about me and my... naivety.
Sure.
Of when I was, I don't know, 22, 23.
Okay.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to have a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have some folks over from my morning shows. And I was in Michigan at the time. And I thought, I really want to have a really neat little, I didn't even like have a kitchen table. It was literally, my setup was going to be around my coffee table.
Okay.
It was, we're all going to sit down. There was like four or five of us. And I wanted just kind of a neat setup for everybody. And I didn't understand the difference between a charger.
Okay.
And a functional plate. I mean, I knew plates were plates, but I started to see these chargers, the big plastic, like we're seeing here underneath the plate.
Uh-huh.
And I thought those were plates. I thought, you could use that. Like maybe this plate on the plate is like the appetizer plate, and the plate below that is the entree plate.
Sure.
That was my thought process. So I started serving everyone dinner on the chargers. And it was steak, and you had to cut.
Oh, no.
And chargers are plastic.
Yeah,
you know?
A lot of times they are. They can be other material.
But like a lot of them, you're going to find like a Target and Pier 1. They're plastic. And if you scrape them, the paint and the plastic and all the stuff that makes them pretty.
Right. It comes off.
Comes off, especially if you're using steak knives. And then it goes into your food, too. Mm-hmm. So you end up ending with like, ooh, look at it's. Did you put gold leaf on this steak?
Ew.
No, it's part of a charger, everyone. But that's what I was thinking. So chargers, not things you should be putting food onto. It's an accent piece for your table. And that's the more you know.
there are some chargers that are actual like dish material, but most of the time my chargers, you aren't going to want to eat off of them. And it's mainly, it's to catch spillage. Overflow, you know, things that wander off the plate. Like, you know, I had a roll away at Thanksgiving today.
Uh-huh.
And it's designed to kind of help with that and protect your table. It's purely for decorative purposes.
Yeah, it is. And I just thought I'd share that just so.
Yeah, that's good to
nobody,
know.
Nobody makes the same horrible mistakes that I've made. Really, you know, again, you pick your pieces for the setup you're going after, depending on the room you're going after. You also accented this with a little candle holders as well.
Yeah, little votive candle holders. And those are on my table year-round. They are made to look like mercury glass. They are not, but I have battery-powered tea lights in them that we turn on for special fancy dinners.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were on today. But another thing I thought of when you started taking pictures, you know, another cute look that really goes with what we like to do is sometimes if you have different plates, but they're all kind of in the same color family, each place setting's a little bit different. And it's really easy. Sometimes at, you know, flea markets, antique stores, you can find plates that are mismatched or just kind of a one-off because the rest of the set's broken or, you know, there's not very many left, and sometimes you can get them really, really cheap, and I would just pick some up just to have, and it's kind of a neat eclectic look to set each one similar but not exactly the same.
Charlene on Facebook says, Jenny, God bless your soul. He's a nut. I wonder if you have to practice not to make faces when he goes off the rails.
That's cute. No, I've gotten used to it. You know, we've been together almost 9 years, so I'm totally used to it.
I just say weird shit all the time.
Yeah.
Another thing that we do as far as the decor in the room, and I love this wall, and you've said, no, I'm not quite ready to talk about that. I took pictures.
I wasn't ready for that, but okay.
But we're going to change, and there's a lot of changes going on, so before you change it.
Okay.
I thought, let's just talk about this one a little bit, because I like this one, too.
Okay.
And just some extra ways you can accent a room, you know, either for the holidays. I mean, this is year-round. We just kind of, you know, re-festivize it, depending on the festivities of the season.
Well, that is an old, it's not old, but it's made to look old, garden gate. I think that was like Sam's Club find, but you see those, they're all over now. And I painted it to kind of go with the teal in the room, but it has a over-the-door wreath hook on it year-round. And for Christmas, I put up a Christmas wreath, and the rest of the year, there's like an olive wreath that's on it that's just, you know, to add some greenery to the room. And then with the lanterns beside there, I don't really decorate the lanterns. You put cobwebs all over them.
And we just took them down the other day.
Because
it was like, it's time for Christmas. Cobwebs must go. It's the one thing we forgot to take down after Halloween. And I was begging you, can we please keep the cobwebs up for maybe till Valentine's?
No, because they're going to look like I need to clean.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's really all that's going on that wall. And then that's kind of a Jenny made it buffet back there, which is an old cabinet with a piece of wood on top. And we just decorate it with one of those barnwood boxes. I think we've talked about those on the show before. Mm-hmm. It's about 2 inches high. It's probably 2 feet long by 6 inches wide. And you can fill it seasonally with all different kinds of decor, and I just put some, you know, kind of garlandy things in there with more of the stuff that I used on the Christmas tree.
That used to be like a toolbox of some sort, wasn't it?
No, this was actually just somebody had barnwood and made these low-laying trays. We have a toolbox, but it's in the other room.
Okay. But it's along those lines, almost.
Yeah.
Of, you know, antique, vintage, old wood, and that's what they kind of put together. It's just, there's so many neat things. I love the lanterns because they're really just kind of classic and they work with almost anything.
Yeah, they're my favorite.
I think that outdoor piece, you painted that as well, didn't you?
I did. It was white when we first got it.
Yeah, it was an outdoor piece. And those are interesting because, you know, you could find those, you know, like you talked about, I think we found it like Sam's Club or something. But again, that's an easy pickup on a Craigslist or something like that. And especially if it's already kind of roached out or rusted out, you can paint it or you can leave it, you know, kind of the roached out look with what we like for a lot of things. And,
sure.
And depending on the room you're doing and how you want it, you know, there's a lot of ways to do that. So there you go. And like I said, we're doing this live on Facebook tonight, so feel free to leave your comments or questions, and we will try and answer them as we go through this throughout the evening. Next piece, let's start talking about some of the items, some of the stuff that we've repurposed here to make holiday decor. And what's neat about this is, you know, you grow up. And I remember growing up and looking back on some of the things around the house and going, oh, that was a really neat piece that they had there, or this or that. And my parents, I think, sometimes didn't think anything of it. But these are things that, you know, it's more so to kind of build memories with unique items.
Sure.
It's not just, here's the item that we bought at the store that, you know, all of your friends have in their house too. When you go and play there, it's there. These are things where it's like, I've only ever seen this at mom and dad's house. And it can be a neat pass down thing at some point too. And that's what I love about it. Cause it's part of creating the traditions, but it's also part of I'm going to hold on to that. And I want to have that in my own house someday. And some of these items that we're about to talk about, are just that. We'll start with this one. This is a really neat one. This is an old ice skate.
And I have to give credit where credit is due on this. This was actually given to us by your mom. And it's her old ice skate, which I think she painted it red.
Yes, she did. They used to be white. I remember her actually skating in this when we would go ice skating on the creek in my own backyard. And these were her ice skates from when she was a teenager. She still had them. She held on to them. She still used them. And but for this project, obviously, she doesn't skate much anymore.
Sure.
But she didn't want to just toss them away. And rather than turning into a hoarder, she decided to put them into a project.
And, you know, she filled it with the kind of floral items that are coming out of it. And it was a great gift. And you know, people like us that love repurposed things and things with sentimental value, we were all about it. And I'm sure, you know, somebody else would be like, really, an ice skate? But I was excited. And then the only thing that I did was I put it... on a wreath. So we've got a wreath that's on a wreath hook, and then the skate, she had put a wire loop on it to where it could hang on the wall, and I just hang it in the center of the wreath, and that's what my door hanger looks like going out the back door every year, and I just love it. But again, it's repurposing items, things that, you know, have a special sentimental meaning. And I have to tell you, their house is my favorite place to go find stuff. It is.
We're going to go junking at Christmas.
It's awesome.
And they're not hoarders by any means.
No, but they have some neat things that I'm like, oh, I know what I do with that.
Yeah, there's just so many, you know, things like, you got to go to the attic and see what's up there.
I should.
There's just so many things. And it's just fun to be able to use, you know, these old items and repurpose them. So that's a way. I mean, and if you don't have an old ice skate from a family member or yourself,
you can find one.
Go to a used sporting goods store or something, or any thrift shop, and I'm sure you can find one to make the same sort of thing. Not difficult to do, but all the more meaningful if you can, you know, go to mom's attic or dad's attic and go, oh my, or your own, and go, oh my God, these are my skates.
Sure.
You know, this is something you could easily do. I don't think it would work quite the same with a moon boot.
No, not a moon boot, not a rollerblade. No, it would pretty well have to be your old-fashioned ice skate like that.
Which I did just get rid of my moon boots not that long ago because I think the dog started eating them. And we got to get rid of that. We were talking earlier about, and since we're kind of on greenery here, about not necessarily repurposing, but finding ways to use greenery just around the area. To kind of spruce up the outside, especially in pots that you may have plants and stuff in spring and summer, not necessarily have to drag them into the garage. It's not hard.
No.
If you can go on a little walk in an area where you can discreetly clip some branches like we did.
It was a fun afternoon. Yeah. I mean, we took a walk, and we are very blessed to live in a place that has natural growing trees.
Yeah.
Which we're not used to still. And so when we went for a walk, you know, there's different kinds of pine and cedar and juniper, and we even have magnolia trees here. So we took the snippers, and I walked around and I snipped things off of some of the trees and some of the commons areas that I knew would be okay, that nobody was going to care. I didn't go cut somebody's prized magnolia tree.
Yeah.
But my goal was to fill these two front porch urns with some greenery that would stay nice. And it stays nice for about 3 or 4 weeks if you keep it kind of moist. And just a simple... stick it in there, kind of fluff it out so it sticks up a little bit, and you've got a very simple holiday kind of decor. And I did the same thing with the wine barrel planters, except we just used just cedar, and I brought some of the lanterns from the back deck out front and set them in there with white candles. And that's just all that I did for decorating out front right now.
Yeah, and it's simple to do. It really is. And the lanterns, the candles in there are the battery.
Yeah, they're battery powered. You know, being cold, you could put wax ones out there. I wouldn't light them, but I just put the battery ones out there because I have so many battery powered candles. So we just use them all the time.
Since we're still talking about outside decorations here, I don't have any images of this, but I want to share what I did with, you know, right now the big thing with the last couple of years has been the laser lights and all that. You shoot them at your house or whatever. last year I bought one of them out of curiosity, going, this could be really neat, or worst case, it'll be the backdrop for karaoke night in our basement. But I got it, and I shot it at the house thinking, what else could I do? Something I haven't seen anyone else do this.
And there may be a reason they haven't. We just don't know.
It's like you're taking down airplanes.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But what I've been doing with this, with a laser light thing that shoots the lights everywhere, is shoot them at a tree with the branches and the leaves primarily gone.
Right.
In fall, in winter. And at night, it really is amazing on a big old tree. You know, at least like a good 20-year-old tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I now got I bought a second one this year, and I'm shooting at two different trees, and we don't even have lights on the house. And walk outside, and it looks like there's red and green fireflies just flying all over the trees.
The trees are sparkling.
It's a very understated but really neat outdoor Christmas decoration.
I like it so much better than just shining it straight at the house.
I do too. Yeah,
it's neat.
Because you expect them just to be on the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you see all the ones now where it's like almost like clip art trees that are, you know, floating around your house. Just those fireflies on the trees. Mm-hmm. And the Christmas colors are so fun. And I really like this. So there's another idea of what to do with outdoor decor for the holidays. Here's another item that we've had some fun with over the years. And this is something that we found at an antique store. This is an old candy box.
Yeah, and you have to look past the hot cocoa sign.
Yes.
But we saw this old wooden candy box with the great red coloring on it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know what to do with it when we brought it home. It was just neat. And it has since turned into our pop-up hot cocoa bar that sits on our counter every Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And the little gingerbread house has hot cocoa packets, and there's mugs, and the red tall bucket is full of candy canes now. It won't be for long because I have a problem with candy canes. And then found this little hot cocoa sign. So we just turned it into kind of our little pop-up hot cocoa thing. But being that it's in a box, it's easy to move out of the way if you need the counter space. So, you know, I have no idea how old the box was. I really don't remember what we paid for it. But you could do this with any kind of old box. It's just it really worked with the colors for Christmas for us.
And I think we got it for relatively cheap. It was one of those finds where it's like, what is this? And it was just, you know, neat and old, and you could read some of the lettering on it. And I believe it was turn of the century, almost. It was something that would have been like not even a dime store. I mean, this predates dime stores.
Sure.
It would have been like in an old, country store, if you will. And it just is such a fun piece. Probably lead paint, so don't let the kids munching on the paint. But a very unique piece. But if you can find something like it, you could. There's a lot of ways you could do something similar with an older box, and it's just a neat way to repurpose it. Because for a while, quite honestly, we bought this thing and it sat in storage, going, "What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it?" And then you came up with this one day, and it was like, that's perfect. This is a totally perfect thing to bring out at the holidays.
It's one of those pieces that sometimes things just speak to you, and they say, take me home, and you don't know why, and then you eventually figure it out. That or it's haunted, but it wasn't haunted. So
the weird thing is, we love it at the holidays, but everyone in the house is driven to the knives.
No.
And they're just like,
nothing like that, thankfully.
It's a neat piece. It's a neat way to repurpose an old box of some sort. Another piece that we have here, and I love this one too. This is one of my favorites, if I can bring it up here as a solo image. An old sled. I don't believe it was this specific one. I could be wrong. I think my mom said this was hers. Is that accurate?
I'm not sure.
I did have one very similar to this. I don't believe this is the one. I think mine was a little bit shorter. But this we're looking at on the screen here is an old sled, the type with literally rails on it, where you would lay belly down. And then you have some steering at the front. You can move this thing left and right. And if you're going down a big hill, this is the best type of slide for you because you really can steer. Have you ever, being a girl from Texas, ridden on a sled like this before?
We actually had one that was in our family,
okay.
And we tried sledding in Kansas, which is basically non-existent. But uh-huh. when we had the small hill, when we tried and sled, it was on one like this, but it never worked very well because we didn't have enough momentum
sure.
or snow or
yeah.
either thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen these. I had one before, but that one was long gone. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't remember the history, but we just simply put kind of a Christmas decorative, you see these types of hangings. I'm not sure if they're a teardrop or what they're called, but they're almost like a garland that's just more of just a swag. And, mm-hmm. and I just attached it to the sled and then put a big burlap that's red and burlap colored bow on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just leans up by our front door. It looks like it's ready to go sledding, you know, anytime snow comes. And,
yeah.
and that's all that I did to it. And the old curved top toboggans, the same thing works for that too.
Yes, you could totally do that with an old curved
right.
top toboggan as well. And that's, I've never ridden on one of those.
I haven't either.
That would be fun. But this, I remember one day going out back behind my house as a child, big just loads and loads of farm fields.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were, you know, plowed nicely towards the end of the season, you could easily get through them. It wasn't too many, you know, rough
sure.
you know, divots to get through, if you will. But there would always be kind of the tractor trails,
mm-hmm.
almost roads,
mm-hmm.
you know, back there that the tractors would go on. And I remember going back there with my dad and taking one of these with us one year. And it was particularly in Wisconsin, you have snow, and then especially at the beginning of the season, you have snow, you have some rain. So you get a nice good layer out there of ice
uh-huh.
as well that's underneath all of the snow. And out there in the farm field, I remember there being a nice solid layer of ice underneath the snow, which works particularly well with this, depending on your definition of well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you fast means well, that's good. Out of control means well, that's good as well. But I remember going on that and going up at the top of this farm hill in the middle of just, you know, just piles of snow everywhere and just flying down this hill on my stomach and then trying to steer.
Ugh.
And on the ice, you know, there's
right.
only so much steering you can do. But it was a lot of fun. So lots of good memories for
sure.
me associated with a piece like this. And again, it's a neat piece. It's even more meaningful if you have a background with it.
Mm-hmm.
If not, what was, you know, think back to your childhood, and if you had snow,
mm-hmm.
if you had things like that, that were outdoor toys for winter, really. I mean, outdoor toys, I think, is more the term. I could see
yeah.
you could even do something like this with a Chevy Chase saucer.
You could.
We had a saucer, a big red saucer, almost like what you saw when he's flying through the Walmart mm-hmm. on Christmas vacation. I could see something like that being used for this, kind of just the more classic pieces. I don't see this being done with the kind of, you know, light orange plastic sled.
I wouldn't do that, nor do I see that being a thing in the future.
No, it's more so these more classic olden wooden pieces that really seem to work well for
right.
this stuff. And it's just, it's fun. It's fun being able to take these pieces and not just discard them
mm-hmm.
and say, eh, it's probably not safe. Because the funny thing is, there's so many things that we did as kids. And, I think sometimes we thought, you know, our parents would tell us things of like what we did, like, oh, that's crazy. And, well, we're going to go do our thing. Now I think we look back on some of the things we did, and that level has changed as well, where it's like, you can't do that.
Right.
So eventually, where does that line end? I don't know. But if you had some memories with pieces like this, to be able to bring them back and use them in decor, especially, you know, it's the holidays. Using pieces that had memories attached to them
mm-hmm.
is so important.
Right.
So that is that. Have we covered every piece here today?
I think so.
I didn't have a super strict outline for this episode because I just thought, you know, this is our stuff.
The only thing we haven't talked about yet is how to wrap the gifts that go
yeah.
under the tree.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. That's probably one of my favorite parts of the holidays is wrapping the gifts, because that 90% of it falls on to my lap, and I really have gotten to where I make a thing out of it.
Yeah.
And I kind of plan, you know, how I want the gifts to look this year, and I try and get things that coordinate, so I don't buy tons of paper, I don't buy tons of ribbon, I just get, you know, what I need. And go with it.
Yeah, and you've gotten really good at that.
Yeah.
The other day, I'm not going to kid you, I was at a store with Livia, our older one, and she said to me, "Dad, I think Mom kind of is a hoarder of wrapping paper."
Well,
and I think I
said, why did she say that?
I said, you know, she's had a lot of wrapping paper over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree, but she now seems to kind of have a direction where she's going with it. So I don't know if she saw like a old bag of it or something, but she's like, yeah, Mom kind of hoards wrapping paper.
I don't. I think maybe in my craft closet behind me, there's a total of 4 rolls, including the one that I bought.
Yeah.
You know, I used to get into everybody's gifts. The ones for you were wrapped a certain way. The ones for the kids were wrapped a certain way. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. That's too much headache. So what I have done is I've gone with the craft paper look, and it's simple and I really like it, and so I've spent a little bit more on ribbon this year than normal.
Sure. But what you made up for in the
because
this is like almost like butcher paper, right?
It is. It's called craft paper, k-r-a-f-t paper.
Could you use butcher paper as well?
I don't know, because I don't know how it comes. If it comes on a large roll big enough for wrapping gifts. This comes on a roll, you know, about the length of what you would use for wrapping paper, and it is really, really, really long, so it's super thick, and it's heavier duty, so it's easier to work with. It's not gonna rip on a corner halfway through wrapping a gift. And my thought process was just to do kind of a more simple look and add some greenery and ribbon and call it good. And I have different black and white ribbons that I'm using, and I'm putting a little greenery on all of them. But I'm just going super simple.
If you couldn't find this paper, could you use the old shop paper shopping bag as an alternative?
You can. That's where the idea actually came from. When Christmas, that was how gifts were wrapped at my house.
Yeah.
And it ended up being one of my favorite looks for wrapping. So that's why I've kind of done it. But now they sell the brown paper on a roll, so you can just get that.
Sure.
And it's a lot cheaper than buying 4 or 5 rolls of wrapping paper.
Yeah.
And that's about the equivalent of what you get when you buy the craft paper roll.
Sure. It's an inexpensive way to wrap gifts.
It is. And you don't have to use fabric ribbon. You can use whatever kind of ribbon. You don't even have to use ribbon at all. It's really cute with twine and just a little greenery attached
to it. That's a cool rustic look.
It is.
It is. I like that a lot. I mean, I really honestly do. I mean, it's neat to see that. It's like, oh, that's so unique. It's different.
And
But it's simple.
Yeah, and that's what I'm all about right now.
Yeah, it's a cool way of doing that. So there you go. I think we've covered all of our holiday tips thus far. We may have a couple more in a episode or two that pop up before the holidays, but I think that really covers most of it. Diana on Facebook says, love the idea about the laser lights on the tree. Might have to give that a try. And I have a question about the fur on the skates. Jackie, because we have the skates we talked about earlier on the top of the skate. I believe that actually, I'm pulling the picture up, I believe that was actually part of the skate. If I remember correctly, that fur existed. It would be easy, though, if you found a skate and you want to do that, just, you know, buy it at the craft store.
It was on there when it was given to us. I don't know if your mom added it, but you could, like you said, easily add a fur kind of collar to it.
Could easily be added in there. So there you go. I think that wraps up our holiday edition of Junkin' with Jenny. If you have an item, a space, a place you want to get some feedback, some ideas on, submit it to us on our website at junkinwithjenny.com. That is the way to do that. So there you go. If you're watching tonight, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the podcast, Thanksgiving was a couple weeks ago. Probably time to dump the leftovers.
Right.
It's not safe anymore.
Don't eat those.
Not a good idea.
No.
Just saying. And there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode or watching another episode of Junkin' with Jenny.
I'm here with FinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at spinquest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.